Welcome to another episode of TTJ Talk, produced by the tech juggernaut at ttjtech.net. Hey, I am super excited about today's episode, folks, because we're going to do a live stream. Actually, we're going to let you hear the live stream. I was joined by trainer Cliff, Stir It Up Studios. That's Stir with a U, S-T-U-R-I-T-U-P, as well as trainer Rita Howells. We were talking about replacing your traditional computer with an iPad and replacing your traditional television service with Apple TV and internet-based streaming services. So we're going to jump right into this, folks. No time to waste because we got a nice live stream for you to hear. If you want to get your questions asked or answered, if you want to get your questions answered on our next live stream, be sure to send iMessages or emails with your tech-related questions. Keep them tech-related to The Tech Juggernaut at iCloud.com. And now, let's get right into the live stream. Okay, we got somebody live.
All right.
There is Cliff. We got Cliff in here now. Let me get back over here. So we're just waiting on Rita, but we can go ahead and get started. Even before Rita joins. So we've got trainer Cliff with us. How you doing, Cliff?
Going okay.
All right, good. We've got a few people. One for sure that we know from class, we got Judy with us, Judy Lewis, that is. And we've got a couple other participants, and I'm not sure if I recognize the names. One's just a handle, you know. But of course, today we're going to be talking about replacing the computer with the iPad and replacing the traditional television service with Apple TV and internet streaming. So which one do you want to start with?
Well, they're both personal favorites of mine, so it really doesn't matter. Plus
yeah,
the fact
they
that
are we'll, mine too.
Plus the fact that we'll be talking about them on my podcast this week. So I mean,
let's go ahead and give them that information. So both Cliff and I have podcasts, in case you are not aware of that. And if you go to Apple Podcasts, which is our personal favorite, you'll find both of them. We'll give you the names of them momentarily, but we're also on Google and Spotify and Overcast, Breaker, Radio Public, and you can even get the RSS feed. So the podcast for TTJ is TTJ Talk. And if you search that in Apple Podcasts, you will find it, TTJ Talk. Now, Cliff has a podcast called Stir It Up, but the stir is spelled with a U, so it's S-T-U-R-I-T-U-P, and both of us have these live. As I said, they're both on Apple and other sources. You can also visit my website at ttjtech.net, ttjtech.net, to learn more. You can follow our blog, and I think we have Stir It Up has a WordPress blog as well, right? What is the web address to that?
Same as the podcast, stiritup.wordpress.com, spelled with a U.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so and I believe we have Rita with us. Is that you, Rita?
That is Rita.
How you doing?
I'm
late
good.
As usual.
Can you hear me? All right.
We
oh yeah.
Perfectly. Absolutely.
Wonderful.
So you are live, both in our podcast that will soon be available to millions of people, because it'll be on, it is already on Apple Podcasts. This episode will be published within a few hours, but you're also live right now on Periscope. So if you have anything you want to say to the folks, Rita is one of the moderators, for those of you who are familiar with the iDevices list, and she writes the weekly iDevice advice, tips and tricks about how to do things with, how to get the most out of your iOS devices, I would say, and she does a fantastic job. Those are very well respected in the community, and for good reason, because they're excellent. Rita, am I missing anything about iDevice advice that you want to share with the folks?
No, it was kind of happenstance how I came about that. It I was working with Denny Huff, who created the iDevices listserv, and he asked me to help moderate. And I'm like, well, okay, this is the platform. I could do a weekly little advice column. And so I decided to call it Rita's iDevice Advice. So excellent. That's my...
Awesome. And we're soon going to make that part of the ttjtech.net blog too, right? You're going to become a contributor on there?
Sure.
all right. So we are talking about replacing the iPad, the computer with the iPad, which of course is something that you're very involved in our free courses that we are teaching, and also replacing the traditional television service with the Apple TV. Rita and Cliff, as well as trainer Lynn, who could not be here today, we're all going to be together in person in less than a month. We will do a live stream and a podcast when we are, and we'll be enjoying lots of our whole families will be together. They're bringing their spouses, their kids, Cliff's kids, and of course my wife and kids will be there, and we're going to do a lot of fun things, from going to the pool to going to the spa and a variety of other things. But we're also going to be doing a live stream and having our official meeting where we will make the final decision for our 2019 fall and spring 2020 training schedule, which we will then be able to announce to you at that point. So we're excited, and I hope you all are as well. We are coming in live. I'm checking the status to see if we have any more people.
Oh, I know we're live, because when you did, my iPad told me that you were live. So
absolutely. Oh, we've got the other Judy in here now. So Judy P from class as well. Welcome to you. You are live on Periscope. I mean, no one can hear you, but you're participating in a live stream, and you're also you're going to be on Apple Podcasts and all these other things. Again, you won't personally, because you're not being recorded or anything, Judy. But welcome. We're glad to see you on here. I hope everything's going well. And submit your questions right in Periscope, guys. If you have any, you can submit the questions, about the computer to the iPad, the TV to the Apple TV. I'd prefer you keep them in Periscope now. We did ask you to use iMessage if you couldn't be here live. But now that we are live and I have Do Not Disturb on, the only way I'm going to see them is to look at the screen in Periscope. So please keep your questions inside the Periscope app if you want them answered on today's stream. So I have been using the iPad as a complete desktop replacement until ever since the spring of 2018. But it really started in the spring of 2017 that I really demoted the computer, and it became a very, very small part of what I did, and it just continued to diminish. Why don't we tell the folks, and I do have one or two questions that I did receive ahead of time then, and maybe some will come in as we talk, but why don't we each tell the folks what our sort of story is that led us to making the decision to replace the computer with the iPad. And I know, Rita, this is still sort of in progress for you. but why don't you two go ahead and tell your story, and then I'll tell mine as well.
Okay. Go ahead, Cliff.
Well, I mean, I really don't know. I mean, what happened was Matt taught a class on it, asked me to help out, and I didn't have an iPad at the time. I was anti-iPad at the time, because I wasn't familiar with certain gestures and things of that nature. And then he asked me to help teach a class. I'm like, well, why do you want me to help? I don't even use the iPad. But I joined in and pointed some things out as they were necessary. This was the first class. And as we were going through the class, I learned about, So in the middle of a class, I ordered an iPad with the Logitech Slim Folio keyboard and joined in. And so my story is basically I replaced my iPad or my computer with my iPad last March, I guess it was, March or April, and have been exclusively iPad. I mean, I do everything, especially with the iOS, the iPad OS 13 being in beta right now, and I'm testing that. And there's a lot more features that are available there now that were not available before either of the classes that we've already taught. But I mean, I still have a Mac Mini that I probably turn on maybe once a month just to make sure everything's updated and things of that nature. And of course, my iPad doesn't want to be on Do Not Disturb like I told it to be. But that's how I replaced my computer with my iPad. Is basically Matt asked me to help to teach a class. I didn't tell him I didn't know nothing, so I just joined in and helped where I could. Learned a lot and ordered an iPad, and I've been using it ever since. Back then, it was a 6th gen iPad, but the iPad Pro came out in November, and I liked the way that it looked and felt, and decided that I was gonna, you know, get that one instead, and sold off the 6th gen with the keyboard. So, but I am still using an iPad.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yes, hi, Judy. I see you there. Hope everything's going well. That's Judy L. Nice to see you on here. Really glad to have you. All right, Rita, how about you? Do you have anything to share with us about you? As I said, it's still kind of a work in progress with you, right?
Yes, it is. I think the I knew this class was coming up for the iPad, and I'm pretty proficient, relatively proficient with my iPhone. So I'm thinking, okay, I was kind of adverse, like Cliff, to an iPad because the real estate of the screen was so big, and the fact that the screen splits and there's so much more information. And I'm thinking, why do I want to do this when I can just use my phone? And so participated in the class, and it forced me to learn and realize that it is a computer. And so, and the fact, now this is, again, Cliff and Matt and everybody's been saying this over and over again, personal preference. Or, you know, there's so many different ways to get things done. And I am thrilled about the fact that the new software that's coming up for iOS 13 is that I'll be able to have USB thumb drives where I can store documents from my dying old computer. I can put them on a thumb drive, and then I can access them, and I don't have to upload them to the cloud if I don't want to. Now, again, Matt and Cliff will give you their opinions on this. Hang on a second.
See you in a couple days.
Okay. Okay, I'm sorry.
No problem. No problem.
And so
yeah, we know that you've been kicking and screaming with that, you know, I need an external, where can I put my documents so they don't have to be in the cloud.
Exactly. Rita's still trying to live in the 90s. It's
okay. Hey, Rita, I even one-upped you. I even went up to the 200 gigabytes iCloud storage plan, so.
Well, I still got you beat with 2 terabytes, but, you know. You got me beat with, you know, 6 million songs in your music collection, so. go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I really think that for people that are considering this, that, you know, a lot of us who are blind coming through the rehabilitation systems, they're still using Microsoft product, Windows and JAWS, you know, because a lot of rehab entities are still buying those. And so people are trained on that, and there's a learning curve, a steep learning curve to using iOS products. Once you get it, it is phenomenal. It is life-changing. I can't say enough about converting over to Apple iOS products. The biggest issue, I think, is the cost. When you buy an Apple iOS product, it is accessible out of the box. You just turn on VoiceOver. You don't have to spend an extra $1,000 for the software. And that has made me angry for many, many years that these developers of this access technology have been making millions off of rehabilitation agencies, organizations, and individuals who had to buy the software to make their devices talk.
Yeah. Something about that just doesn't seem right.
So, I don't think it's ethical, quite frankly. I mean, you know, a lot of people will disagree with me. The idea is that something will talk for me and I don't have to pay extra money for it because I'm blind, you know, Apple, I fell in love with Apple when I first got my iPhone 4 and I haven't gone back. And so I think people need to understand that you need to practice. You need to keep trying. And if you mess up, just hit the home button, you know, or walk away from your iPad for a while. There is a learning curve and you have to be patient. But once you've got it, it's amazing the things that you can do with an iPad.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So thanks for sharing that. And I'm going to come back to you, well, both of you, in a second, because I have some follow-up questions to that. Very quickly, though, let me share my story in this. I got an iPad right away in 2010 when the first iPad came out. And I was one of the folks who very quickly saw the potential in it, and even the potential as a desktop replacement, because right, you know, from day one, Pages, Numbers, and Keynote, the equivalents of Microsoft Office, in my opinion, better than Office, but you know, either way, they were the, you know, the alternative to it. They were available on iPad right away, and at first they were a slightly different experience than they were on the Mac, but by, I don't know, 2012 or 13, that they were brought in line with each other. Modifications were made to both so that the feature set was virtually identical on both platforms, and that continued to be the case. So I saw this right away, and it wasn't probably something you could have necessarily done in 2010, but I saw the potential. Steve Jobs used to have a saying, well, it really wasn't his saying, it was Wayne Gretzky, but he always quoted him by saying, he would say, I skate where the puck is going to be, not where it's already landed. And he had a way of being very, very forward thinking. That is ingrained into Apple's DNA. Today, it's no different. Even though Steve Jobs is not, you know, with the company, it's no different. Tim Cook and the team that works for him and with him, they follow that same course of action, that same way of thinking. And so Apple has always been and continues to be a very, very forward thinking company. We lost somebody. I'm going to use voiceover here to see who we lost. Looks as though we lost Cliff. I'm not sure what happened. Rita, you're there, right?
Yes, I am here.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened with Cliff there. Anyway, so they've always been a very forward-thinking company, and I saw that potential right away. I began making the shift, but it was a very, very slow shift. And in 2016 and 17, when I got, after I'd gotten a 9.7-inch iPad Pro with a keyboard, what was Apple's smart keyboard, I really began making the shift much more quickly. And the Mac computer that I had, it was just becoming less and less, and I began wondering, do I even need this? Am I really even using this? Because I was creating documents in Pages. I was, you know, there were a couple of things at that point that were not yet available to iOS users, but that was quickly going to change. And so I began sort of thinking about it. And then the final piece of the puzzle that really made things come together was in the spring of 2018, Apple held its typically annual event, and this year it was education focused. It was held in Chicago, and they released the sixth generation iPad. They promoted it as the tool for education, and I looked at it at first with only a passing interest because I didn't feel I needed a new iPad. I had this beautiful 9.7-inch iPad Pro, and it was working flawlessly, so I had no intention of getting a new iPad. But what really impressed me when I did watch the keynote was the other stuff, the initiatives, the education focus, the way that these devices, and I looked at, you know, what some of these schools are doing, the Chromebooks, and they just don't even compare. They really don't even compare. There is so much more that you can do with an iPad that you just flat out cannot do with a Chromebook. The ease of use is unparalleled. The compatibility, it is just, it's unbelievable. It is second to none. With the iPad, the amount of apps that is available for classrooms, you know, it's not just about creating documents. You know, there's video editing, there's music editing, there's drawing and expressing yourself through creative projects. On an iPad, you can dissect a frog virtually. You can access the entire periodic table of elements, and it comes alive right in the palm of your hand. It doesn't have to be this static thing. There are apps for every subject, whether it's math, reading, you know, at any grade level too. And with iCloud and Siri and the integration of all this stuff, again, I've said it before, Cliff's back to this now. I've said it before, the integration of hardware, software, and services at Apple is just second to none. So it doesn't even compare to a Chromebook. Maybe we'll do a specific podcast on that at some point in time. But when I saw this, I said, you know what? It is official. I can completely give up the computer. I don't need it. And I ended up getting the sixth generation iPad because my carrier was offering a promotion. So I got a cellular one, and I got this Logitech Slim Folio that Cliff referred to as well, which was Apple's official recommendation, I guess. Maybe they wouldn't use the term official recommendation, but if you went in the Apple store, it was the keyboard they were suggesting as an accessory. And, you know, it gives a case and rugged protection as well as the keyboard. I don't use the keyboard for everyday stuff. I use the touchscreen, and I'm very fond of it. But for longer documents and long emails and blog posts and stuff, I definitely do use the keyboard. It's always there. The Logitech Slim Folio for the sixth generation iPad happens to have a user replaceable battery that's supposed to last approximately 4 years. The new one uses USB-C if you have an iPad Pro 2018. So either way, you don't have to worry about running out of battery power. They have the Logitech Crayon and the Apple Pencil support, and then just all of their apps. I mean, it's, as I said, if you look at what you can do, and let's talk about that next. And Rita, I certainly don't want to exclude you, but this, considering that you're still making the transition, this is probably more Cliff's question, but I'm still going to put it to you as well. But Cliff, just give us a few seconds, some of the top things that you do with the iPad that people would not expect. I mean, we know the iPad does internet browsing, email, video, you know, watching videos, listening to music, playing games. Everybody knows that. And that's great that it does that. Tell us some of the things you have been able to do that people might not expect with the iPad.
Editing audio. For instance, we are now recording and editing our podcast directly on these iPads. It's not done with a computer. It's not done with a mixer. It's not done with a keyboard. This is all done strictly directly from our iPad. Other things you can do is now with the external drive support, I assume I can talk about that because Apple announced it. I can now plug an external hard drive into my iPad Pro. And if I was going to be a Rita about it, I would put some documents over there because I was scared they were going to be lost. So what else? I mean, the iWork suite, of course. You got Pages, you got Numbers, you got PowerPoint. I'm sorry, Keynote.
we're supposed to have no explicit content. That was a bad word.
But yeah, you have the iWork suite. I extensively use Pages and Numbers on my iPad, especially Numbers, because I have a family budget that I manage with what day bills are due, how much needs to be paid, how much is coming out of the accounts. I mean, I organize all that stuff. I also write on my WordPress blog directly from my iPad. Of course, email, texting, listening to music, the average consumer stuff. What else do I do directly from? I mean, you can do, there's an endless amount of things that you can do. I mean, even if for people who still use Skype, I mean, you can Skype from your iPad. We use FaceTime audio and more recently Periscope, Zoom, and the other things. And now the iPad also gives you an automatic desktop site when you go to Safari, so you don't have to go tell it I want a desktop site. It automatically takes you to that. So
right. And tell us this, and welcome Terry, good to see you on here. Hope everything's going well for you, brother. Tell us this, because you and I both do this, but yours was in person, brick and mortar, whereas mine's mostly online, so you'd have, some different aspect of this. You ran a business. Now, you've since moved, but you and your wife ran a cafe and did the lion's share of the computing on an iPad, right?
Yes, I did absolutely all my computing on an iPad. My providers, like U.S. Foods, they're a big one in the Southeast. Their app was accessible on the iPad with VoiceOver. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, all those. I did all those orders with my iPad. I never even bought a Mac for my business.
And you accepted credit card payments and other payments using your iPad with the Square card reader, correct?
Correct. There's a one that has a stand. You could just swipe it, and that comes with a drawer that's attached to it, just in case they pay with cash. And then you also got the Apple Pay, where you tap and go, as they call it. It really is a square, and it sits right on the register. And if they have Apple Pay on their phone, all they do is tap, and the Bluetooth picks it up, and it sends the payment directly to my bank.
Yeah, and that's awesome. And Apple Pay, by the way, folks, is amazing. A little off topic, but not really. I love it. We have more and more places here that are accepting it, and even small businesses now in our area have started accepting it. So, you know, even just a year or two ago, there might have been two places in our county, McDonald's and Subway. We now have, you know, probably five or six or more. Even my dentist actually now accepts Apple Pay. So it's really, really cool.
One of the things that I forgot to mention is I was actually thinking about buying a Mac Mini for the kids because they – you know, are going to be in school, and most of them do paperless now, where they do all their homework online, this, that, and the other. And I went the iPad route instead of the Mac Mini route because, number one, all the schools in this district anyway, if you're third grade and up, you get an iPad to use throughout the school year. And number two, made more sense because it was cheaper. So, I mean, instead of spending $1,500 on a MacBook Pro or a Mac Mini, I spent $300 on an iPad. So, yeah. I mean, it just made more sense to go that route.
And if you are interested, folks, listeners all around here, we already talked about it a little bit, but if you're interested in a much more extensive discussion about the iPad for kids and the iPad for the classroom, we're going to be doing a podcast on that very thing, comparing it to some of the competition. And I'm going to have a friend of mine, Crystal, who is a teacher, special ed, and who works at a school which is all Apple. And so she has seen what this can do and how it's transformed people's lives. And that's going to be later this week. I would echo everything that Cliff is saying. I mean, my story is exactly the same as far as being able to do all the, you know, the pages and Keynote and numbers, doing spreadsheets, doing presentations, doing video and audio editing, and certainly these podcasts, running the business, doing the you know, the website. My websites are done entirely on an iPad. Even writing a book, because I've written a couple of books and published them through a self-publishing company or through directly submitting them to Apple in several cases now, to Apple Books, all done on the iPad. You don't need a computer, traditional computer. I need to put the word traditional in there because an iPad is a computer. You don't need a traditional computer to do that. And then, of course, the more consumer stuff as well, watching TV, listening to music. We do grocery lists on iOS. You know, we keep our grocery lists that way, our recipes. It is truly unbelievable. My, you know, Bible reading, certainly, and notes when I do messages at church and so forth.
And for everybody else that's listening, there's a couple of things that we may not get to here, but Matt is coming on my show this evening, and the podcast will probably be up tomorrow afternoon. And it's going to be a wall-to-wall interview on how he replaces iPad or replaces traditional computer with an iPad and some of the more advanced things that he does do on a daily basis.
Yes, yes. Rita, what can you add to this?
I was just thinking about when in the course that you ran, replacing your computer with an iPad, there was a session where we, you know, what's on my iPad session. And I distinctly remember Matt going over what was on his iPad. And there was like 400 apps. and Cliff had something similar, you know, a couple hundred apps. And I had 14 apps.
But you had just gotten your iPad. You know, it was a new thing. So
yeah, it was just brand new. Right. And I think that as a need comes up, you know, as something comes up that you want to do, like, for example, I was highly motivated. I've been paying for Netflix streaming service for several years. But my husband always accessed it on the TV. We had a Roku stick that wasn't accessible. And, you know, and he just did all that. You know, I was like, we wanted to watch something. I'm like, okay, he sided. So it's like, okay, go figure out what you want to watch and let me know and that kind of thing. Well, I'm thinking, hey, I'm paying for this Netflix. Why don't I see if I can get on there? And with a little encouragement from Matt because I was scared to try it, but it was so easy. I mean, I just logged in and created my, like, what Rita is watching, and I was able to pick, like, 50. I know people have hundreds, okay, but, you know, different shows and find things, and every time you attain,
and Netflix
a success
has a good amount of descriptive audio, right? Descriptive thing, movies and TV shows.
They do. They do. And someday, you know, all programming is going to be accessible. I mean, it's coming. It's just so frustratingly slow, you know, in terms of audio description for everything. But if you turn that on, yes, when there is audio description available, boom, you've got it. And so it,
absolutely.
Just that one example, you know, if allowing me to have, you know, access, that's just one thing amongst the millions of things you could do with your iPad. And I think once people attain some level of success with just setting an alarm, you know, finding a recipe, you know, whatever, you know, finding something that they can use in their life that will spur them on,
yes,
to go to the next thing,
yep,
that they want to try, like creating a budget or, and especially the visually impaired community. There's been a lot of created dependence on sighted people, like, you know, people, family members or whatever. Oh, you can't do that. Let me look that up for you. Oh, you know, you can't do your budget, you know, whatever. And as we learn how to do these things independently, it is amazing freedom. Like, boom, I can handle my own credit card. Like, you
Apple
mentioned
Pay, yep,
the wallet app, and I mean Apple Pay. And the Apple credit card.
Now, I'm right there with you.
Trying
I
can't, to sell a service
I'm
here, but I'm so excited about this.
Soon. They said summer. I want the Apple card very much.
Yes, I called Apple because I'm like, because my credit card that I have through a traditional bank,
oh,
has
my,
just been compromised, oh, for like the sixth time. Oh. I mean, we were caught in the Home Depot scandal, the Target,
oh,
scandal,
terrible,
the, you know, the compromises to the credit cards, you know. And I'm like, this is insane. And I called Apple and they said with the release, like, we are on 12.3.1,
right,
unless other than the beta people, of course. And when 12.3.2 comes out, she said that the Apple Pay will be,
yes, and
I mean,
I think
the credit card will
be
available to apply
for, and should have the Apple card
12.4. Okay, I'm sorry,
we are on the, okay, fifth beta of 12.4, and I cannot imagine any need for another one. Of course, I'm not Apple. I don't want to speak for Apple. I don't have the right to speak for Apple. They may see things that I haven't, but I personally, man,
right,
it's been ready for.
Before you go any further, I want to point out that, and I'm not saying no names because I don't want to badmouth nobody, but there is an organization out there, Rita, that tells us to use that resource, which would be Sighted Eyes, to help us do things, because that's a resource at our disposal. Now, I've never been a big fan of that. That's why I'm not either one of none of those organizations that emphasize those things. But I just wanted to point that out because some people will say, well, I'm in this faction and they said do this, that, and the other. So,
right. And where you going?
Oh, I know it does. I just wanted to point that out, that they
like,
try to teach.
Like some people will say, you know, they right, they use, you know, a certain app, Be My Eyes or Era, which are wonderful organizations, wonderful things. But you know, they turn that on and they're like, I can't find my coffee that's in my cabinet. You know, so they use this app for some sighted person to look in their cabinet. For God's sakes, if they would just organize their cabinet, you know what I mean? And
I mean, I know everybody learns
and,
differently,
you know,
but
I mean,
doesn't a coffee can have
a
distinct feel to,
well,
it away from,
know,
everything,
I think,
else? I mean,
I think the thing with that is it's just like anything else. You know, some of my favorite two words, personal preference. You know, you can, there are things that, and of course, you know, all of us in this podcast and in this live stream, all of us have sighted family. And so there are times that you're going to use in a negative way. I don't mean that, but there are times you are going to ask a sighted person either because it's the only way or quite frankly, maybe because it's easier. You know, I'm not extremely proficient.
Yeah, it's faster.
Yet
yeah.
At lining up the camera myself to try to scan QR codes and stuff like that. So a lot of times if everybody's asleep when I'm getting ready to have a snack or something and I need instructions, you know, I'll use FaceTime because my mom tends to keep similar hours to what I do, not quite as late, but similar. And, you know, I'll just say, hey, what's the, you know, how do you do? Because she can then say to me, well, move it to the right, move it, you know, down, or, you know, be my eyes can do that kind of thing too. But again, the thing about the use of iOS and iPadOS, as it's soon going to be called, and all of that, is that you have that option. You now have the flexibility. I mean, I truly believe it's a gift from God because you have the ability to make that decision. And the determination now is no longer made by somebody else that, well, this just doesn't work for me, so I have to have sighted assistance. Now it's, okay, I can do it, you know, three different ways. What way am I going to choose? And iOS, Apple, they are the ones who have made that possible.
Correct.
There's no, I mean, case closed. It's as simple as that. There have been other companies, in fairness, who have followed in Apple's footsteps. Android has screen readers. Narrator has improved on Microsoft Surface. Comcast, Xfinity with their X1 service and DirecTV satellites. You know, there are voice assistants and screen readers, televisions from Samsung and LG and Amazon Fire. They have accessibility. But let's be honest, Apple is the one who pioneered it. And it is, that is the bottom line. They have pioneered it and they've led the way and they continue to lead the way because the functionality is just far superior to anything else. What do you see as a potential hurdle or what is the biggest hurdle that you see, either of you, for somebody who is going to make this transition from a desktop computer to an iPad? Maybe they've been using Windows all their life and they're actually considering using the iPad. What do you see, whether it's from an accessibility standpoint or anything else, as the biggest challenge that they might experience?
For my opinion, is the patience to learn a different way and to figure it, you know, to ask questions and to do the research that you need to do. Like, say you want to access your email, okay? You interact with an iPad differently than you do a Windows computer. And they, you know, with Windows, you've been trained to tab and arrow and constant tabbing and arrowing and so forth. And it's, you've got to not think about how you do it that way, but do it a different way using VoiceOver and those gestures. It's critical to learn the gestures of how to navigate on a smart screen using a very light feather touch and mastering the 1 through 4 finger gestures. It is critical so that you have control of where you're going. And it's those movements of your hand and your fingers that
Absolutely.
Will become muscle memory. And so that's the most important thing, I think. And that's where people, I've trained a lot of people in getting started with their devices. And there's only been almost 95% of the time it's been very successful. I've had a couple of people that just gave up. They just were so frustrated by trying to learn to master the gestures. They were literally slamming their fingers on the phone and or on the iPad and just were lost constantly. And a part of their hand would, these screens are extremely sensitive and they have capacitive touch, so it's very light feather touch. And once people get that mastered, they just take off. I mean, I was working with one person who wanted to get onto Facebook and create an account. And she got started, and I tell you, we created a little monster, because I mean, she's been posting, you know, everything, you know, what, you know, and it's awesome to see her get so excited about.
And that's the experience that everybody, whether they're sighted or non-sighted, and you know, from the ages of 2 to 92 or whatever you want to say, that's the experience that is just so constant. I so many of my customers, because of course I work with customers who are visually impaired, customers who are sighted, you know, all sorts of everything in between, and the recurring theme always is, and mm-hmm. when one of my customers says to me, how much storage should I get on an iOS device? And of course Apple has their questions that they ask, and if Trainer Lynn were here, she would tell you, because she does an excellent job of this with her work. She does it, and she's got to do it, and she knows the questions to ask that will help you to determine what storage capacity to get. But I have always said to people, get the most you can afford, because here's my prediction. Right now, you think you're only going to do A, B, and C on your iPad or iPhone. I'll come back to you 6 months from now, and you'll also be doing D, F, G, H, and I, and you'll be curious about J, K, L, and M. So it's, you know, it is, and that is what I have seen consistently from people.
Correct.
They're doing more than they ever originally intended to do, because it is so easy to do, so simple, it just works. You don't have all of the hassle that you have with these other platforms, and even the Mac, which also is extremely easier to use and less riddled with problems than Windows is, but even the Mac is more complex than iOS for users, you know, when you really get right down to it, because of the simplicity of the walled garden of iOS and iPadOS, the way that they're designed. That's not a criticism of macOS, by the way. If you do, if you are in that small niche group that needs a traditional computer, I highly recommend the Mac. They're fantastic. And Apple has some great products out there in the Mac line.
So what I know is you have 120 iPad. You've had it for a year now. How much space do you have used?
I would have to check. I think, of course, I got the 128 gig. Something I looked at the other day, I still had 75 gigs free, and I don't remember if that was my phone or my iPad. I can't remember.
Okay, because on your phone, you got just 256, right?
128 also, because the 10R Yeah, I think I could have gotten the 256 and the 10R, but I didn't. Because it was doing fine with 128 on the iPad, so I just went with the same thing. There's so much more that we could say about this, and as Cliff mentioned, I'll be on his podcast, Stir It Up, Stir with a U, and there will be a recurring theme of this topic on my podcast as well, TTJ Talk. Certainly not the only theme, but it will be a recurring theme for sure, so we will talk lots more about it, and we may revisit it before we close today as well. But I want to move on for the sake of time to the discussion of TV and Apple TV, another favorite to talk about. You know, cord cutting, folks, is just becoming a household word, and it's changing the way people watch TV. Now, there's a debate in the industry about what cord cutting, what really qualifies as cord cutting and what doesn't. We're not going to get into all that today, at least. But here's the bottom line. If what I did and my family is, you know, we use internet service from a provider who provides outstanding internet. We really have very fast internet, which is an important piece to this puzzle. But that is it. Other than that, we use the Apple TV as our television set-top box. We have one in several rooms already now, and we have several streaming services. We use PlayStation View, spelled V-U-E, and Philo, spelled P-H-I-L-O. Remember, we get no endorsements. We get no incentives for promoting this stuff. You heard in my first episode, I only recommend products I personally use. I don't have any partnerships or affiliations or endorsements from any company. So this stuff I'm saying to you is strictly my honest opinion. PlayStation View, PS View, and Philo. And then, you know, through some other, we have Hulu, Netflix, you know, things like that. And I do subscribe to the Stars Apple TV channel also. But Cliff, I know you've had several of the streaming services as well. DirecTV Now, you've logged in to apps through Comcast, you know, apps like Food Network and HGTV, Nickelodeon, you know, the individual apps where you can use your credentials from a provider. you know, with these services, we get cloud DVR.
Hey, your buddy's DirecTV now. I see an article from Cord Cutters News this morning that says, if you come back, you had to be a previous customer. But if you come back, not only do they get dollars off, but they will put you back into the last package you had. So if I wanted to go back, they would have to give me the whole big for that.
Yeah. DirecTV Now is offering that promotion. If you were thinking about leaving, because they've changed some of their packages, and they are giving you the $10 off for 6 months. My biggest thing with DirecTV Now, you know, I want to love DirecTV Now because their app is just wonderful. It's fully accessible on every platform, which I cannot honestly say about some of the other live streaming TV services, although there are definitely workarounds, don't get me wrong, because primarily you can use the Apple TV app. And so you can always kind of find your way through things, but the DirecTV Now app is fully accessible with voiceover. And I love the way that the interface is set up. In the old packages, at least, they had the best channel lineups of anybody. Now you got to pay considerably more to get those in their new structure. But, you know, so for these reasons, it is a fantastic service. But I really feel like now, you know, their future is a bit uncertain, too, because AT&T's CEO has said they're kind of focusing on their new Warner streaming service that's coming out this fall, and their new DirecTV thin streaming service, whatever that's going to be. I think they're...
And another one I heard is called HBO Max. So...
Right. Well, that's the name they might be giving, according to rumors, to the Warner streaming service, yes. And I don't know, you know, what this all means for the future. I mean, DirecTV Now, you know, could stay around for the next 20 years, but it may, you know, I just don't know. Since they've made the statements they've made, it feels very, I don't know. I think their hearts are in the right place with trying to get rid of satellite in favor of streaming.
I think they're playing too much of the guessing game here, because, you know, you got these other services you mentioned and them, and they don't what people want. I hate to admit this because their service is buffery that I haven't seen in a couple of years, but I hate to say this, but I got it right, because they have two packages and you can get them both together. I mean, you got ones, the other, but for the main packages, TV got it. They got a blue and they got an orange. Blue's more geared towards the lifestyle, the lifetime, yada, 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 and the other one's geared more towards stuff like that. So I think they got it right for what they did. They're owned by Dish Network, and they are the most popular service, streaming service, right now. They got the most subscribers by the numbers. So
if you are, the thing is, though, if you add their two packages together, once your promos expire, you're not really saving money over most of the competition, you know, and especially when you put the DVR at,
you're not, but you're still getting more than you would with services out there.
With some of the services out, yes, that is true. And I think, you know, I think all of this, first of all, we have to remember the streaming game is still such a new thing. I mean, it is still so young. You know, it was only 2 years ago, maybe three now, but I think it was about two and a half, that I made the very, very incorrect statement. It's what I believed at the time, that it would be at least another 5 years till streaming would be a viable alternative to cable or satellite.
I told you were wrong when you said it, too.
Yeah. I had to expect that very quickly. You know, but I've said that to say it is still so new that, you know, things change in this business daily. I mean, they really do. And that's one of the beauties of streaming. You know, when we're talking about the benefits of streaming over traditional cable and satellite, is that you do not have to worry about contracts, long-term commitments, termination fees. You can change your package and your service every month if you want to. I'm not saying you need to, but you theoretically have that option. There's so much more flexibility. You're not paying for...
Just remind me when I get there to ask Jessica how many times you've changed over the last year and a half.
Well, we may not want to talk about that. But you know, you don't pay for equipment. You buy your Apple TV, and that's it. You don't have to monthly rent equipment. And so, Cliff, what else can you say about this as far as your favorite things, or you know, why it's been an alternative, viable alternative for you. I mean, I've given you some of the reasons why it has definitely,
we're my absolute favorite. One of my absolute favorite things is the fact that 95, probably 98% of anything that you do on your TV comes through the TV app. So if my wife watches Cake Wars on Food Network, watch, you know, Beard in the Backyard on Oxygen, when I go into the TV, it's going to tell us if those shows have new episodes. If it doesn't, it's going to give us recommendations. And it's not even from a voiceover standpoint. This is from a user standpoint, because it's for everybody. I mean, iOS, where they 13. iOS, now you can have a different profile. So I don't have to see Sherry's up next list. I can have my own list, and she can have her own list. So we don't have to watch the same things. I mean, we ultimately do, but there's a few things that she watches that I don't watch, and there's a few things that I watch that she doesn't watch. So, I mean, it's great to have profiles, but it's just, but like you said, with the iPad, replacing the traditional computer with your iPad, it's the same thing with the Apple TV. It just works. I mean, they claim Roku is the number one streaming set-top box in the country, and that may well be, but until they get accessibility, I'm not even going to think twice with Apple, because it's just everything's integrated. I can not only on your Apple TVs, but if I'm at work and I'm on my break and I open up the TV app, it's still going to bring my most recent episodes that I have watched, so I can finish them there.
That's right.
Across all your devices, not just the Apple TVs.
And that is one of my favorite things about it as well, is the TV app, or the Apple TV app, as they're officially calling it now, I think. It's a fantastic app anyway, but my favorite thing about it is the Up Next section, where it does keep track of what you're watching. And if you're in a series, and let's say you're all caught up, you know, season 8, episode 6 just aired and you watched it, next week when episode 7 airs, you're going to get a notification that it's available. It's going to show up at the head of the line right in your Up Next queue, ready for you to watch. So you don't have to think, oh, what comes on today? It's Thursday. What do I have to, you know, not forget to watch? Or what do I have to remember to set my DVR for? You don't have to do that. Now, there are still DVRs. Most of these services have unlimited DVRs, even, at least for, you know.
One of the services we didn't mention, which is YouTube TV.
Yeah, YouTube TV is another one, and their DVR is very good as well. I believe it's unlimited. There's time restrictions on some of this. But anyhow, but if you look at the Up Next section, you will see all of your shows and movies there. And when the new ones are available, they show up there. So do your sports teams when your favorite sports teams are playing. You know, they just appear there. We had a question. Dennis asked, can you watch channels like Discovery, Oxygen, Investigation Discovery? The answer is absolutely yes. Now, you have to have a package. That's what we're talking about. You got to have a package through, you know, any of these we've mentioned. We've mentioned several: PlayStation View, Philo, DirecTV Now, Sling, YouTube TV.
And the great thing about those packages or those services is some of them are not 100% accessible, but the apps that you can download onto your TV are. So what you do, single sign on, or you sign on if you have to, like a third party with Comcast, they don't have single sign on. So what I do is I sign into these apps, go into the apps, and I can set my favorites or my watch list or whatever. And it's one of those things, I set it and forget it. Because now when I go into my TV app, everything that I set in my favorites or my watch list is going to show up in my TV app. And I probably never have to open those apps again. I have to, you know, launch a new season on my watch list. So those apps will show up in your TV app, and it makes it so convenient. Even the app itself, like Philo or PlayStation View, apps aren't accessible. You don't need it, because once you're signed into the apps like Discovery Go, TLC, whatever, you can access your content in those apps directly.
That's exactly right. And just a note for the voiceover listeners out there, we're not saying that all of those apps are inaccessible, because some of them are accessible. But the point is, the TV app does it all. And you can even search in the TV app or with Siri. And if you search for something, you know, it'll show you, all right, this show is available. It's also available to watch now on Food Network, or in your PlayStation View app, or on Stars, or wherever it appears, you know, as many places.
I wish they would make Siri a little smarter with that feature, though, because I would want to see where I can watch it for free first. Don't show me what I have to pay for first.
Well, if it's available for free to watch right now, it does appear as the default choice in the first row. Like when you search for something, the very top row then is a play button, if it can be played. And it will default to that if it can. But, it, you know, there are some times where, for whatever reason, that's not, a viable option. But
Now, yeah. Reedy, you don't do none of these TV services. You watch just Netflix on your favorite stuff, right? Right. And unfortunately, Netflix decided that they want to get in bed with Apple and make their stuff available on the TV app. But, I mean, it's still accessible.
And it is still, you can still search for the content in the TV app. It's just not going to sync with the TV app. But you can use the TV app to search for things that are on Netflix and open them. It will open the Netflix app and start playback for you. But it just, you won't see them in your up next queue like we're talking about.
Right. And, you know, the miracle about this accessibility is you can search and find things on your own without having somebody going, oh, well, this is available, or taking guesses 100%. For you. You could do it
absolutely.
Yourself.
Absolutely. Some of the other things that people might be wondering about with the TV are the local channels and the sports, regional sports and stuff. And I really have good news about that. And that is that most of the nation has it. If you get one of these streaming services like that we're talking about, we live in a relatively rural area. I mean, we're not like, you know, 45 minutes from groceries or anything. You know, it is a town and there are lots and lots of things here, but it's relatively rural by comparison. And it, for the longest time, up until probably last year, we did not get any of our locals live. Now, you could still get the shows on demand. If something appeared on NBC, CBS, ABC, you could watch it on demand the next day. But we were not getting the live local feed. And we didn't care because we didn't mind waiting an extra few hours to watch it. You know, we didn't need to watch the local 6 o'clock news. We didn't need to, you know. But I can now say that at least one service, PlayStation View, and I suspect there are more. There are a couple that I know that don't, but I suspect more do offer all of our locals. We can get them live now, and that's happening with most of the nation. If you're in a place where you can't, you might consider an HD antenna, over-the-air antenna, and a little box called an HD Home Run Connect. And that is a box that connects to your router. You put the HD antenna in it, and now you download an app for your Apple TV called Channels, and it will, not to be confused with Apple TV Channels in the Apple TV app, but a separate app called Channels. I believe it's made by Fancy Bits LLC. It's in the App Store, and you purchase that app one time, and it now allows you to watch all your locals over the air with an antenna. So it is, even if you can't get them from a service like DirecTV Now or something, you can always access them.
And it also depends on your need or your what you're looking for, because there's a whole lot of alternatives. I mean, they have CNN has local, there's another channel that has local live news where you can watch 24 hours a day. I can't remember. Cord Cutters News wrote an article about 2 weeks ago.
Oh yeah, there's tons of that stuff. Absolutely.
And then and for the sports, Yahoo Sports has an app. Now it does not work on the Apple TV. I mean, you can view your scores in there, but if you want to watch the live feed, it has to be done on your iPad or your iPhone. But I don't mind that because I just took a Bluetooth speaker up, and it's like it's on the big TV, and I listen to the local sports team, you know, the Vikings as I like to call them because they always lose. But I can get their games on this Yahoo Sports. It always makes sure it airs your in market game. So whatever team you're closest to, that's what it will play, whether it's NFL, NBA, or NHL. Play them in that app. But again, it has to be on your phone or your iPad.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. What else can you think of that if somebody is considering
Didn't even mention the free TV services like Pluto and Sony Crackle and XUMMO, TV, what's it called, Tubi. There's another one that I'm forgetting. There's a lot of free services that you don't even need an account for, and they have live streams.
You are right about that. There are several that are free, and you mentioned Pluto, Tubi, let's see.
XUMMO, I don't know how I pronounce it.
Right, right, that's one of them. Crackle, you said. What is it? PBS and PBS Kids and QVC, HSN, those are all free. Some of them have limited content free, and then you pay for, more of the content to be unlocked. But these services and all of the major paid services that you would expect, as well. You know, like Hulu, Amazon Prime, Netflix, all of these do have apps, either apps or an Apple TV channel on the Apple TV. So an Apple TV channel is something where you can subscribe directly through Apple's TV app and you pay. It's not just billed through Apple, through the iTunes store. That happens in several cases, but this is a step above that. This means I don't even need a third-party app. For example, HBO is a is offered as an Apple TV channel. So is Stars, which I mentioned to you that we have. If you sign up through Apple TV channels, then I don't need to download the Stars app. I don't need to create a profile with Stars. I don't need to do any of that. I can watch it right in the Apple TV app. I can download the content for offline viewing if I want to. I can have up to 6 family members sharing it on all their devices with Apple's family sharing. And it is really a fantastic experience because you never have to leave the app. Speaking of Apple TV channels, are you looking forward, either of you, to Apple TV Plus, which is slated to come out sometime this fall?
Well, Rita's not a big TV watcher, so.
And Rita, I thought, oh, there you are. There you are. I think you are interested in some of the shows on Apple TV Plus, yes, or was that sorry. Lynn who said that? That might have been.
I did a little article on, you know, some of the shows and reposted some of the stuff that Cliff is. The shows are fascinating to me that are coming up, like that show CSEE, you know, about the post-apocalyptic world where everybody's blind. I was like, I'm wondering how they're going to handle that one, you know. And so some of that is fascinating to me, and I would consider it.
That's right.
Because, again, it's going to be completely accessible, you know, and I can that TV app, I think, is way underutilized. Yeah. That's the Apple native, you know, TV. And I think a lot of people don't realize that it, I guess the word is curates, you know, your shows, you know, that you can, or you can do searches, like you said. So there's so much power, you know, and so many people are way underutilizing the capabilities of their iOS devices.
Yeah.
I mean, it's phenomenal to me that sighted people have no idea that there's a calculator on their phone, or there's
a level,
a compass, or there's a, you know, whatever, a level, you know, I mean, they have no idea. I mean, the things that are on their Apple devices, because they just use them for
the
what they want to use them, and then they don't ever, you know, explore.
Third party apps.
And
I mean, my goodness, you know, with over a million apps in the App Store, I think it is
correct.
Now,
phenomenal.
You know, it's just unbelievable. And I also would say I'm very much looking forward to Apple TV Plus. That is their subscription service with a whole bunch of really awesome sounding shows and movies. I don't know. They have not stated.
Have they issued how much that's going
to
be yet?
I think
or the
pundits have speculated, but Apple hasn't said it.
Okay.
Definitive. My only thing is, and this is not a criticism of Apple. There are some light things on there too. My only thing is, I am, you know, the kind of TV I watch is 9 times out of 10. Now, we'll watch movies together as a family for sure, and other shows that we watch together. 9 times out of 10, the stuff that I watch is either sitcoms or it's like lifestyle, like HGTV, Food Network kind of stuff, History, Science Channel. You know, I love the sitcoms every day. You know,
Don't. I got a list I still haven't gotten back from you yet.
Yes, I know, but that's another, you know. How many things on that list? About 7,500.
Nah, there's only like 3 shows on there.
Only like 300. But I love the sitcoms, the lighthearted stuff. Very, very rarely do I watch a serious TV show. The only one that I do watch sometimes is Grey's Anatomy, because I'm interested in medical stuff, and for some reason, every time my wife has it on, I can't tear myself away from it, and I start getting interested in it. But I never got into things like Game of Thrones or Downton Abbey or Nashville or any of that stuff because
Nashville, a great show.
That's what my wife said too. That's what she said. And I watched some of them with her, but I like the really light stuff. So I'm hoping there'll be enough of that for me to say, yeah, I'm going to actually watch this stuff regularly. But some of the shows do really look fascinating. And there's even some kids shows coming. I mean, I think it's going to be very, very well done. Well, we know it'll be well done because Apple's doing it, and they have a pretty much a spotless history there when it comes to doing things right and you know, learning what they need to learn and making the changes and just, you know, so I have high hopes for it, high expectations for it. Anything else, guys, that you want to add? You know, whether it's iPad or Apple TV, any other discussions, anything you want to talk about for today?
Nothing I can think of off the top of my head. I think we pretty much covered, you know, pretty much everything that we can.
Yeah. One of the things I do want to add, and maybe you have something too, Rita. I didn't mean to cut you off there too. I just want to say one other thing and then I'll turn it over to both of you again.
No, go ahead.
We do, because some of the listeners may not know this. We do offer courses. Now, as I said, we don't know yet what the course catalog will look like for this coming fall and spring. We usually announce that in August. We're getting together in the beginning of August, so that announcement will be coming shortly after that. But we will have courses of some sort. They are typically free. Now, I do also offer paid training if you want one-on-one and you want to take things to the next level. But we, Rita, Cliff, Lynn, Maria, and myself, we have just a fantastic instructor team, and we offer free courses that you can take online. We teach them using the Zoom conferencing app, and we use iTunes U or iTunes University to distribute materials, to distribute assignments, to send audio demos and other content to you. And we teach these every year. So every fall and spring, whether you are sighted or not, if you want to learn about the iPad or you want to learn about the Apple TV, we do have a voiceover course that we offered this past year. And so these courses, I highly encourage you to subscribe to the blog at ttjtech.net if you've not already done so, because there's where you'll see when these things are coming out and what they will be. And you'll find out our training schedule and how to sign up. And it's something I really, really encourage, because I think people, we've gotten a lot of positive feedback about it anyhow.
I highly recommend that people do sign up for the ttjtalk.net.
There's talk. It's TTJ blog. Tech, but the podcast is
Say it again.
Talk, so that's where the confusion is. TTJ Tech, yeah.
TTJ, yeah. Sorry.
Tech.net. Yes. Yeah.
ttjtech.net to get that blog, so you get updated on the courses. And there are so many people who are willing to help, and I just cannot emphasize enough, it's critical that you learn voiceover skills, the gestures, so you have a successful experience doing anything you want to do on your iPad.
Absolutely.
Or with an Apple TV.
Yep. Okay. Anything else, folks? Anything else that you want to say before we close today?
No, I think that's about it. I mean, you know, if you haven't considered getting an Apple TV, listen to this live stream and we've interested you. I mean, there's ways to get this. I mean, I'm at stirritup.wordpress.com, also on Twitter. And you have to ask Matt about his, because he's got about 30 different ways to say it. So.
Yeah. Well, the easiest is the ttjtech.net.
Yeah, exactly.
All the other contact info is there. So ttjtech.net is probably your best bet. And we you can also follow me on Twitter at TalkTTJ, Periscope TTJ Talk. And
I told you there's 30 different ways.
There's
right.
So many.
That's
ways.
The best thing.
I think
exactly,
is to get on the blog.
Yes.
TTJtech.net.
Yes. Well, we are so glad to have you, and we can't
it's
wait
been
to
a privilege
next,
being associated
month. I mean,
with
I'm
you
super
guys.
Super excited about that.
My vacation time got approved, so I'm going to get paid to play.
I am
That's
too.
Awesome. That's great. Hey, stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back. But thank you guys for joining us today. You guys have a great rest of your day. All righty. Bye-bye.
Okay.
We'll be
bye.
Right back. They talk.
Alrighty, folks, we are just about finished with today's episode, but I do want to mention a couple of very quick things to you because there's a lot more to come, of course, on TTJ Talk in the coming weeks and coming months, but even in the next few days. So, first of all, we're going to be doing a segment. We're not even done with this discussion about iPads as replacements to computers and Apple TV and all of that. We're going to do a lot more with that. But in addition to that, we're going to be doing a series on speakers. I'm going to show you the various speakers I use to listen to music and podcasts and so on in my home. Spoiler alert, most of them are Apple. But we're going to also be testing a brand new speaker that I just got, which is designed to be an outdoor speaker for use by the pool, by the beach, and so on, or maybe even in the shower. So we're going to do a little testing of that thing. And that's still to come in a future episode. And also this week, continuing on this discussion, as I mentioned to you before, we're going to have our friend Crystal here to talk to us about how her school uses iPads every day in the classroom and how that's making a difference in the lives of the students. So we hope that you will be sure to join us. We know you will. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts if you've not already done it. Hey, if you didn't get your questions answered today on this particular live stream, I want you to use iMessage if you have it, email if you don't, and get in touch with thetechjuggernaut@icloud.com. Perhaps your question will be answered on the next TTJ Talk. That's going to do it for us today, folks. I hope that you've enjoyed this. Hope it's been meaningful to you. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter @TalkTTJ, Periscope TTJ Talk, and our website ttjtech.net, where you can subscribe to the blog and get a whole lot more. And again, I thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you, everybody.